오늘 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀은
The words of God given to us today is Philippians verse 1, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. It's page 318 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. There is a song that I would like to sing if I go to a singing room. I will read you the first verse of this song. I will be with you one day, although we are now apart. I want to see you so, but I am hanging on, because one day we will meet again. We won't be apart for long. I will go back to you. I want to give up everything and go to you. But wait just a little longer. Yet another unknown future is hard for me to bear. But that you are there makes me exist. I live because of you. Wait just a bit longer. I will run to you. Can you wait until then? This is a song titled A Reason for Existence, sung by singer Kim Jong-wan. For some reason, we do not know the man is apart from his girlfriend in order to accomplish something. He can't be with her because he hasn't succeeded yet. But he wants to have a victorious return after he becomes a success. And he says that the fact that there is someone he loves is a strength to him. A lot of people, in particular men, think this way. Although one's life may not look like much, one dreams of talking big in front of people later. And there are times one makes a firm resolve that although people may look down on him now, he will make them look up to him and bow their heads before him. And so he does everything in order to get more wealth, get more opportunity to learn, and try to get to a better position. But if he does not obtain or get to enjoy the things that he had wanted so much, a sense of shame will become a bitter root that will bother him. He comes to despair at his ability and talents. On the other hand, if he gets to have or enjoy the things that he had wanted so much, it could be that he will hardly have an occasion to boast. And he may have to give up the position that he worked so hard for, regardless of whether he wants to do so or not. And then one must ask the basic question, what had he worked for all this time, and what is the reason for his existence on this earth? Today's passage introduces Apostle Paul, who made Jesus Christ his only reason and purpose for his existence. The life of Apostle Paul on the surface looks like a tangled woolen yarn. It looks as if nothing is going right, and he looks like a failure. But Paul confidently says that the spreading of the gospel has not stopped, nor is retrenching, as the people of Philippi church worried. To the contrary, he says that the gospel is advancing. He says the gospel is being delivered in the same manner that trees are cut down and the rocks are set aside to make the roads for the chariots of the Roman army to pass. These confident sayings of Paul
복음이 전해질 수 없었던 시위대의 군인들이 복음을 듣게 되고
These confident sayings of Paul became an occasion by which the gospel was delivered to the soldiers of the Roman guard, and such deliverance would not have been possible without Paul having become a prisoner. The occasion went further in which these soldiers spread the gospel to their families and to other people. Further, Apostle Paul expounded about the kind of life he lived, who Jesus Christ is, and how Christ entered his life, what it's like to live for him, and with what kind of hope he lives. Many Christians who are weak in faith came to know more clearly who Jesus Christ is, and what kind of life they must live, and spread the gospel in hearing Apostle Paul saying these things at the trial. But in Rome, there were not only Christians who supported Paul and Paul's ministry. There were Christians who did not support him. And these people diligently spread the gospel in order to cause trouble for Apostle Paul. But what was important was that what the people who supported Paul and who opposed him preached was the gospel. If the people who had opposed Paul preached was not the gospel but was the Judaic law or Gnosticism, Paul, as he wrote in his letter to Galatian church, would have said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse." The verse 18 of today's text testifies as follows, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice." Apostle Paul did not focus on the people who were preaching the gospel, but the content of their message. In other words, Christ. So Paul was able to rejoice because of this. If Paul had focused on the people who were doing the preaching, he could never have rejoiced. In this way, depending on whether we focus on people or Christ, the more the time passes, there will be a greater gap in maturity. Immaturity in faith. And Apostle Paul repeats his saying that he will rejoice at Christ being preached. And he repeats this twice. This is the way for him to emphasize his joy. Now, in terms of Greek grammar, a verb in the present tense or the future tense is an expression meant to convey a strong will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 9, there are these words, "And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so." Apostle Paul preached the gospel with the money he made with making tents, and so he was always short of money for his ministry. Although the church of Philippi and the Christians who were in Macedonia supplemented what was lacking, he did not receive help from Corinthian church in order to keep himself from being a burden to them. At the time, the traveling missionaries, Bible teachers, who preached the gospel in one area would receive room and board from the Christians in that area and would receive the fare from them to get to the next destination. But Paul ministered with his own funds. This became a source of slander by other Bible teachers. They said that Apostle Paul was doing his ministry with his own money because he was a false apostle and an unqualified teacher. But Paul says that, "I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so." And this is an expression of Apostle Paul's firm commitment and will. So for Apostle Paul to say that he will rejoice and rejoice again about Christ being preached, whether such preaching is done out of false motives or true motives, signifies his firm resolve that his joyful attitude will not change. And we could read the phrase, I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice, this way. The word rejoice, which first appears in that phrase as being connected to verse 18, and the word rejoice, which appears the second time as being connected to verse 19. In other words, it could be read in the following way. Whether or not the gospel is being preached for show or in truth, I am happy about this. And there is something else that I am happy about. And verses 19 to 20 testify about what that other thing is. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Apostle Paul says he rejoices for two reasons. The first reason is the prayers of the people of Philippi Church and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ will see to him to deliverance. And the second is that he will not suffer any shame and Christ will be exalted in his body. These were the reasons and the purpose of his rejoicing. The deliverance mentioned in verse 19 includes deliverance from prison, completion of sanctification, and standing before God after death. Apostle Paul talks about the two reasons that will allow him to reach deliverance. And the first is the supplications made by the Philippi church. Supplication is a special type of prayer that is given with a specific purpose. So words of Paul can be understood as follows. If I am released from prison, I will become even more like your God's child. And if I were to stand before God in a more faithful way after having breathed my last, it would be because God had answered your prayers. Apostle Paul knew very well how important prayers were to his life and his ministry. Among the things that make me happy and grateful as I preach on Sundays because of Reverend Lee's sabbatical is that the members mention me in their prayers during worship. At the time of these prayers, I also pray. May God's planned grace be present among our congregation because of this prayer, and may today's words serve as spiritual feeding for the congregation for this coming week. So, if there is some small resonance, an understanding that moves the spirit in the words delivered each week, this is wholly due to God's response to the members' prayers and not because of my abilities. And I heard from several members that they pray for me when they attend early morning prayer meetings or when they pray individually. It really moves me to hear this. If you were to pray not only for me, but also for our senior pastor and other pastoral staff and those who serve our Sunday schools, it would be such an incomparable joy for our pastoral staff as well as for me. Secondly, Apostle Paul says that the reason he can arrive at his deliverance is because of the help of the Holy Spirit, together with the supplications of the Philippi church. The help from the Holy Spirit is much more important than prayers. Actually, we do not know what we should ask for that we do not know what we seek would be beneficial in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27 testify as follows. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The reason that the Holy Spirit must intercede for us is that although prayer is a privilege given to Christians, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Through prayer, we have fellowship with God, and we inform God of our circumstances. And so in our prayer, we seek for things that we think are most needed in our present circumstances. For example, that I and my family won't become sick and will be healthy, that our financial situation will improve even a little bit, the kids who have to study will become better at studying than now, and I or my kids will get a good job or marry well. There is no doubt that these things are necessary in our lives. However, we cannot deny that they were all that important. They were all that much of a help in making us into Christians, making us into better Christians. And there is a greater possibility that if God had given us everything that we had asked for in our prayers, we would not be here at this place of worship rather than having become a much better Christian. So we can see that what we seek for can be very different from God wants to give us just by looking at the example of Apostle Paul, who is sending this letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7-9. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." God exercised amazing power through Apostle Paul. Even a handkerchief or apron used by Paul in making tents were put on sick people. They became healed. But Apostle Paul himself carried a thorn in his flesh. There are different opinions among scholars as to what this thorn was. Some say it was a type of eye disease or epilepsy. Others say that it was attacked by people who opposed him, or that it was perhaps malaria. There is no way for us to know for sure. But regardless of what that was, given that this thorn was described as a messenger of Satan, it is clear that it was a critical obstacle to Paul's ministry. When Paul preached the gospel, people probably told him to take care of his thorn first. So Paul would have experienced much oppression because of this thorn. So Paul asked for this thorn to be taken away in his prayer. "God, I'm not praying this prayer only for myself. If the stone is removed, then wouldn't I be more devoted, be able to be more devoted to you and give you more glory? He made this prayer three times. Three does not only mean the number of times he prayed, it means that he prayed with desperation and very sincerely. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you, so stop praying about it. And he said, my power is made perfect in weakness. This means that because Paul had the thorn in his flesh, it was possible to know that his ministry was not based on his abilities, but it was something that God was doing. So, although Paul had worked a long time for God's ministry as an apostle, he also did not know what he ought to have sought from God. As I said last time, Apostle Paul was imprisoned in the part of the Roman prison where the Roman guards were. Therefore, Paul came to meet people whom he could have never met, given his status, and they accepted the gospel, and their families came to believe in Christ. And as a result of this, after about 250 years later, Christianity became the state religion of Rome. More often than not, we do not know what is more beneficial for us, what will make us into better people. There are times that the way God responds to us and acts for us exceed our limited understanding. This is the reason that the Holy Spirit makes supplications for us with groaning too deep for words. Apostle Paul was deeply conscious of this. In particular, the word help, which appears in verse 19, comes from the word that means a leader of a choir or a person who establishes and manages a choir. Now, in order to establish a choir, a lot of money would be needed. Therefore, the verb form of this word came to mean supply abundantly. Now, each member of the choir only needs to sing his or her part well, but the conductor and the manager of the choir looks at the whole and figures out what is lacking and makes up for such lack so that the choir can become better. We can desperately pray that we need a tenor in our life, but God can provide a bass in order for the sound to become stronger. And we can pray that we no longer need more sopranos, but the Holy Spirit, by providing more sopranos, allow us to praise God with a higher sound. Therefore, by the Holy Spirit conducting our lives, we will become a choir which comes to have the more beautiful sound for God as the years go by. Verse 20 testifies as follows, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. The phrase eager expectation and hope, which is actually expressed as a single word in the original text, it literally means extending the head forward to hear the news that comes from afar as soon as possible. There is a word which has that exact meaning in Korean language. It is 학수고대, and its literal meaning is to make one's head like a crane and waiting with pain. Now, one waits with such eager expectation that it's difficult to where it's difficult to tell whether one's neck is stretched out like a crane, an ostrich, or a giraffe, but because of the waiting, because one waits for the news so desperately, so eagerly, that the pain in the neck is not felt as pain. These days, there are handphones and emails, and so there is little occasion to send a letter. Now, let's assume that a man sends a marriage proposal. The man sends a marriage proposal in a letter about 30 years ago. It would take about 2 to 3 days for the letter to reach the other, and it would take another 2 to 3 days for that other person to send back the letter. So it will take about a week for him to receive a response. But it wouldn't be the case that because we sent he sent the proposal in the morning, and he would check the mailbox 4 or 5 days later. He would start looking at it from the day after, even that very afternoon. He would not only just look at it, but he will check it inside out to see if there is anything in there. And about 3 days later, he would probably wait in front of the house without eating or drinking. And if the postman goes by, he would say, "Hey, is there a letter for me?" And if a week goes by without any letter, he would start to get very anxious. He won't be able to work. Maybe my letter did not arrive at her house and got lost. Maybe the letter got there, but the mailbox wasn't open. What if somebody read the letter that I sent in secret and got rid of it? Now what if she got the letter and said and thought that she would read it later, but put it in between book leaves and just forgot about it? These kinds of thoughts will come one after another, and when he runs into the postman again, maybe he will give the man a hard time without a good reason. "You're doing your job, right? You didn't bury a box of mail someplace, did you?" And maybe he will be swore at by the postman. This is eager hope, or 학수 고대. What Apostle Paul eagerly awaited was for Christ to become exalted in his body without becoming ashamed of anything, whether he lived or died. Apostle Paul, at a time when Roman Emperor was confessed as being the Lord, preached that Jesus, who died under Christ, was the Lord. For this, he was imprisoned and was awaiting a trial. If he had denied what he preached, then he could have been released. But even if the trial were approaching fearfully, he is saying that he will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ and will confess him as the Lord who governs not only Rome but the whole world at his trial. And Apostle Paul confesses as follows in verse 21, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This means that the reason for this is that it is Christ who lives in me. In other words, to me, Christ is everything in my life, and dying could be beneficial. That the reason I live on this earth is Jesus Christ. My purpose also is Jesus Christ. And also the source of power which allows me to serve God and people is Jesus Christ. If I were to become a martyr, it would also fulfill my purpose of exalting Christ. During the special morning worship service, I recall saying the following. The hymn 586 is a hymn called Once to Every Man and Nation. The third verse of the lyric of this hymn goes like this: "By the light of burning martyrs." This does not mean that the martyrs hold out lamps for us so that we can follow after Jesus. And it also does not mean that let us model our lives on the lives of the martyrs, which were like light, and so we can live a life which is like light in this world. The English lyric of the song goes like this: By the light of burning martyrs. Jesus' bleeding feet I track. The path that Jesus walked with his bleeding steps are the steps that we are to follow. Jesus walked the road of atonement with a crown of thorns on his head while being whipped and carrying the cross. On that road, there are the blood drops that he shed on the way and the bleeding footsteps. We are to walk on that footstep, but it is too dark for us to follow. At that time, the bodies of the martyrs who are put to death by burning become the torch which lights our way. And so we are able to walk on the footpath of Jesus step by step. This is the meaning of the phrase, by the light of burning martyrs. How could the martyrs have lived such lives? By making Jesus Christ as their reasons for living and their life purpose, as Apostle Paul did. Today is the fifth Sunday of the Lent, in which we meditate on the sufferings of our Lord. The wounds of the Korean church is deep and painful, as the shock of the foot and mouth disease that assaulted our country, and as horrible as the great earthquake that Japan suffered. As a Christian, as a pastor, I am so sorry before the Lord that I cannot even raise my head. There is a single cause that explains all this. Not making God and Jesus Christ the reason and purpose of life, and making the world its reason and its purpose. We're all guilty of this. Let us bind our hearts again to resolve that we will once again make Jesus Christ the reason and the purpose of our lives during this Lent, the time of repentance. Let us exalt Jesus Christ by putting our lives on the words of the Lord. Then the exalted Jesus Christ will exalt us and the Korean church. Once again, in the same way that exalted Apostle Paul, who only exalted Lord in his life, although he was imprisoned and met death by beheading. Let us pray. Father God, although Apostle Paul's life seemed to have been blocked in all four corners, the ways of truth were able to shoot out from all directions through his life. The reason for this was that he made only Jesus Christ his reason for living, his life purpose. Thank you for reminding us that our lives too should be like that. When we look back on our lives and our faith, we cannot deny that our eager expectation and hope were not that Christ would become exalted in our bodies, but that our bodies would become exalted with the help of the power of Christ. So although many years have passed, our faith has remained still, and the Korean church, which is a united body of all of us, has become a wreck. Now, rather than please forgive our faults, and now rather than cling to God to fill what we perceive as lacking, help all of us to become people who can thank you, our God who fills such lack with his grace and works. And allow us to confirm as the years go by how well you, the perfect conductor, has conducted our lives ever more clearly. And we confess that we do not know what is more beneficial for us in our lives and what will make us to become more like your children. And so may the Holy Spirit help our weaknesses and seek for us according to God's will, so that Jesus Christ will be exalted more and more in our bodies and our lives, and thereby may the people whom we meet will come to live lives in which Christ is exalted because of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.